offering a praise this morning. He's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Thank you for singing. We miss Mike today, and we hope he's back with us soon. He's under the weather, and a lot of people at work are under the weather, and so we're just glad that you're here today, weather or no weather, whatever. Praise God. We're glad you made it again today. Hallelujah. We could do a survivor series sometimes in the Christian community. Hallelujah. Amen. And I don't want to be the last man standing either. I want us all to stand. Praise God. And see God's glory in these tough days that we're living in. But God is a glorious God. I enjoy witnessing. God sets up opportunities. I've learned that if I'm instant in season, out of season, the Lord will bring people across my path. They'll ask crazy questions sometimes, but I will give them biblical answers. And it just opens the door. Praise God. We're glad that you're here today. We're thankful for the Lord's blessing. I heard someone talk about going to an Orlando Magic game coming up, and the tickets were $70 a piece. You didn't have to pay that to come in here today. Praise God. Not even 50 or 30 or 20. Amen. Everything that the Lord gives you is free of charge, but there are expenses so that we can put all of this wonderful freedom of grace into a context where others can receive it, and we can receive it every Sunday. We want to thank you for giving to pay this light bill, take care of this building, to pay all the things that we need to pay. We are not... The water bill went down from 300 to 19 because Doug, hallelujah, took care of it for us. He had a plumbing anointing come on him. Praise God. Hallelujah. And we appreciate that plumbing anointing, because if you get an unanointed plumber, it's a great charge. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But God is good. Thank you for all you do. To make this place so pleasant. This is almost like a retreat. We come here and totally relax. I mean, you don't hear traffic sounds, and we can be, not only we don't hear the outside noise, but we can be as noisy as we want to be. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I think I'm going to get a t-shirt printed that says, as noisy as I want to be. Amen. And then have a scripture down there about shouting unto the Lord or something. God is so good. Amen. Today, praise God. And we thank you once again for your giving. This has been a wonderful experience for me to always be in a small context and always have the immediate needs met. We've never had an overflowing meal barrel in 35 years. We've never had that full overflow meal barrel that some people talk about. Amen. But we've had a meal barrel that never went dry. And so everything that marks this ministry is marked by the supernatural. Whether it be when we were in the jail ministry or whether we were taking care of orphans in Haiti, we saw the supernatural. Whatever we put our hand to in a small scale, God blesses in a big way. I don't quite understand all of that. I do know that he does that. And the best illustration I know is the illustration of the poor boy's lunch. When that little boy offered his lunch, a few fishes and loaves, he was talking about some coarse bread that didn't amount to much. It was just a little boy's lunch, you understand. Amen. You ever seen kids' lunch boxes? Amen. Nobody at work carries their child's lunch box. They would rather Walmart bag it. So they can get all that stuff in it. There's no way you could be satisfied for lunch with that little Roy Rogers lunchbox or whatever they got. You know what I'm saying? It held one bologna sandwich and maybe an apple, a small apple. That was about it. Boy, you should see some of the stuff people bring in. I mean, they just kept pulling stuff out. Some of them bring these big things like this, you know, that you strap over your shoulder and carry all that stuff. And then they start pulling out all this good food and make everybody envious of them. Amen. My wife packs mine very, very tightly. This little boy's lunch was just meager. A few fish. I want you to picture, when you see a few fish, not some trout, frying-sized trout. I want you to picture sardines. Amen. It was something like, you know, three or four of those little fish and a little piece of bread. But he took that up in just faith in Jesus, and he wanted to do something. He did what he could, and he offered Jesus all that he had. God does wonderful things. with little amounts when it's offered in faith to him, amen, and out of love. And the Bible said that Jesus blessed it and he broke it. And then he fed the multitudes with it. I could actually use that in the terms of the blessing of brokenness, because until the body of Jesus, he broke the bread, that salvation couldn't flow, that blood couldn't flow until that body was so bruised and broken. But when it was, the blood of Jesus flowed and salvation flowed like a mighty fountain. There's a blessing in brokenness. I don't know how to fully explain it except to say that every life will know brokenness. You can't live in a fallen world without your heart being broken. If you have a loved one, we rejoice when they leave from here and go to heaven. But there is a broken heart. We miss them. Love operates that way. Amen? That's the way love is. If my wife died tomorrow, I wouldn't worry about where she was. Actually, it'd be me I'm concerned about. My heart would be broken to lose my life partner of 46 years. God has been so gracious and so good. But in the brokenness, in the broken things, there is a blessing. And that little boy's lunch proved that Jesus broke it. And amazing that he was going to start breaking it. Why break up a few sardines and a piece of bread? I mean, he broke it. But he broke it, didn't he? He started breaking it up, amen, to dish out portions, amen. And thousands of people were fed because he broke it and he blessed it. And that's the blessing of brokenness. How many millions of souls have come to salvation and eat the living bread because Jesus would took the bread, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is broken for you." Can you say amen? Paul's brokenness actually brought blessedness. When I am weak, broken by life in some area, then am beyond my own ability to cope with it, beyond measure, then am I made strong. There's the blessing. Can you say amen? He discovered sufficient grace. Isn't that a blessing to discover grace really is sufficient? That you don't have to have perfect happenings to have grace sufficient. You'll never discover that if you're living on the mountaintop controlling every situation. Can you say, man, there's something in resignation. It doesn't take away from standing in faith. It's true standing in faith when you resign yourself to the will of God and rest in him. Amen. And quit fretting. Everybody say, quit fretting. I fret. Amen. I get fretful when fearful things come upon me. Amen. And when circumstances come that I can't see through them and I don't know how God's going to work it out and I don't know how bad it's going to get before he steps in. Amen. How many know sometimes the Lord in his timing is not our timing, because I want him to move yesterday and he's got a plan and he's got a purpose, because tribulation worketh patience and it develops us in our faith. And so when the pressure's on, I want out from under that pressure ASAP. Amen. A doctor comes to me with one of those dental tools, and that the back of the dental chair, it's a reflex. I can't help it. You know, I'm supposed to just sit there and take it, but I push back. I push back. I push back. I push back. Amen. I keep pushing my head back away from him, and I know he's got to do it, so why don't I just be still and let him? Because I can't be still and let him. Amen. I'm pushing back. And I know the chair is not going to go anywhere, but it gives me a little sense of control. And sometimes when pressure's on, we push back. But God is so gracious and he's so tender. Amen. Even in painful things, his sweetness comes through. So I just want you to know there's a blessing in brokenness. That's not necessarily my message today, but amen, we're going to receive an offering at this time. And I want to thank you for giving this year like you did last year, because it's took care of our immediate needs, and we're so grateful for it. Heavenly Father, bless this congregation this year. Bless us all this year. Lord, in that blessing, Lord, that we might be able to be a blessing and be a greater blessing, Father. Even in these tough economic times, help us to remember our real source is you, and not to cut short in our life our giving to you, Father. Lord, because your work is still ongoing in the midst of tough economic times, and I really believe it's a key to us being sustained through them, is putting the kingdom first in spite of our circumstances. Father, we'll be careful to praise you as you meet all of our needs according to your riches and glory in Jesus Christ. And everyone that will receive that blessing said, amen and amen. Brother Sean is coming, and we're just once again so very grateful to you this morning for the way that you've given. God is a God who blesses in deep, deep valleys. And I'm so grateful to him for all that he has done. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me. Our theme again, once again, is worship today. I'm finding out if I worship God in everything I do, in effect, if I seek to bring glory to God in word, in every word, in every deed, it makes me think about what I'm about to say at any given situation. It makes me think about what I'm doing. Amen. And the Bible said, whatever you do, do it heartily as unto God and not unto men, for you will be rewarded of the Lord Christ. Amen. You won't always be rewarded of people that you are serving. If you're working on a job and you go the extra mile, you know what they're probably going to do instead of rewarding you for it? When they need things done and they want someone responsible to get it done, they're not going to go to the people that they know slack off and don't really care about getting it done. They're going to load and pile more on you. I found that to be true. And then you're going to come up and say, you know, that's not really fair. And it isn't. It isn't fair. It isn't fair at all. So a lot of times men won't reward you. I pastored for 36 years, and is that correct? Somewhere in that area. Yeah, 35 years, went full-time, and then we pastored a little while before that. And you know what I've discovered? There are people that I have met down through the years, and I have been with them in funerals. I've been with them in weddings and baptisms and been in sick rooms with their loved ones and held their loved ones' hands in their hands as they passed away. I've got up from Christmas Day and went to hospitals and left my family. I have got up from a Christmas dinner and went to someone who had a crisis in their home. And I've done these things, and I'm not bragging or anything. I'm just telling you, in the course of those years, there's been a lot of different situations arise that we have tried to serve in. And down through those years, a lot of times when people go to other churches or they move away or whatever, you just never hear a word from them again. It's like they fell off the planet, you fell off the face of the earth, and there's nothing. It's kind of like, you know, It's over. There's no bond or committed relationship. And, you know, it's easy to get discouraged. It would be so easy to get discouraged when you look for people to necessarily appreciate sacrifices. You know, if I'd stayed with Tico, I went to work for Tampa Electric when I was 21 years old. Do you know how many years I would have at Tampa Electric right now? 40 years. 41 years right now with Tico. Do you realize what I could do right now? I could take the Tico retirement because I'm old enough now. Finally, I'm old enough. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something better. If you got 40 years with a company, that's better than a discount on coffee on Mondays. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I could take my retirement from Tampa Electric. I could take my Social Security, and I could just preach the gospel. Amen. Wouldn't that be fun? Amen. Wouldn't that be great? Just the rest of my life in the work of the kingdom. And I worked 6 days this week. Amen. And I look back on all of that. I thought I would preach full time until Jesus came. I never thought, because we preached full time for 25 years and God met the need. We never manipulated. We never passed the plate twice. Many Sundays when the Spirit of God got moving, we forgot to receive the offering. People gave before they left anyway. We supported a radio ministry with a coffee can in the back of the church. I rarely ever mentioned it. And I remember Brother Hodges was so impressed with the way people gave to that ministry because of the low-key, low-pressure approach to this. I'd read one time about a man said, if you do God's work God's way, you will have God's resources. Amen. And a lot of people think you can't do that anymore because people need to be stimulated to give. You've got to have something to stimulate giving. That's why you get the letter with a little sack in it. I got a letter one time with a little sack in it, and the little sack was in it. It looked like a marble sack, the little cloth sack you used to put marbles in with a drawstring at the top. And on that letter, it said, have you ever wondered why you wasn't blessed? Well, I was blessed, so I knew right then this letter wasn't really meant for me. But it said, have you ever wondered why that you never seem to get out of debt and your finances are never lining up? And it got down here, it says, you know, that then it got some scripture and got manipulative and took things out of context and said, Judas sold Jesus out for 30 pieces of silver, and that money still has that blood guilt on it. And in order to cleanse yourself from the curse of Judas's blood money, you need to put $30 or in change or in bills or however, or in a check. Well, however, you got to get the money in the sack and pull the drawstring, and then there's this little return thing to send it back in, and then they would pray over it and put it into their ministry that $30 now would be blessed. And oh, it got really wild and weird. Amen. And all these gimmicks, you know, there's the glow in the, this guy has a healing ministry, he has a glow in the dark cross that you hold up to light. Remember the Darth Vader swords back during the Star Wars days? You hold it up and then you go into a dark room, and for about 15 minutes, you know, that sword holds that light, and you can see it in the dark room. It's light absorbent plastic. They had light absorbent plastic crosses, and the deal was it had scriptures to rebuke the devil with that come in this little thing, you know, and then it had this little plastic cross that glows in the dark. And you hold it up to your lamp just before you go to sleep. Let it get good and filled with light. Turn off your lamp. Sit it there. And when the devil approaches your room in the night, amen, to torment your mind and all these different things, then this cross is there, and the devil goes, you know. And when I read this stuff, I just visualize Bela Lugosi, you know. I want to buy you. Oh, and backing off. Amen. And I think of the Postmaster General who warned people about stuff in the mail, and it's a shame we have to watch ministries like we do, hucksters out here. Amen. And that the Postmaster General was warning about, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. And watch out for people that offer these things. And in the back of some magazine, a legitimate ad said a surefire, he used an example, a surefire bug killer. Guaranteed money back guarantee. If it doesn't kill bugs, if you follow the instructions, if this device doesn't kill bugs, we will refund your money. Amen. We 100% money back guarantee. So people in bugs that live in places like Florida where there's cockroaches, can you say amen, cucarachas, whatever, amen, and mosquitoes and all these bugs, amen, they would order that thing. I mean, it's 1995, you know, you get your money back if it don't work. And when you come, it actually, a little box came, and inside there was an instruction. You have to follow the instructions to get your money back. If you do it like they say do it, it's going to work. And there was two blocks in there, that little wooden blocks, looked like, remember the ABC blocks, those little square blocks, wooden. And so there's these two little blocks in there, and one of them has an A on it, and the other one had a B on it, and then a little instruction thing. And you open it up. And this is for real. Postmaster General posted an example of how people get taken by mail order things if you're not careful. And it said, place bug on block A, crush with block B. And you know, you couldn't argue that it was a surefire bug killer. If you put it on A and crushed it with B, that's going to be a dead bug, sure enough. Amen. So you got what you ordered, but it wasn't what you were looking for. Thinking you were getting. Can you say amen? I want to make very, very sure that the gospel I preach is not manipulative. Amen. That there is no ulterior motive but to exalt Jesus Christ and yes, lift him up. Yes. That's why I work 6 days a week right now, because I didn't buy in, amen, to the manipulative gospel and the seeker-friendly gospel that get them in at any cost and somehow we can lead them to the cross. Honey, if you're not counting the cross, if you're not willing to count the cost, we can never lead you to the cross. There is a cost to coming to Christ. It's going to cost you your sin. And it's going to cost you your friends who won't fellowship you if you don't sin with them. Going to cost you them. Someone said, well, I have to give up my sinful friends if I come to Christ. I said, no, just live for him and they'll give you up. You won't have to give them up. Can you say amen? Well, what am I going to have to give up my sinful habits? You're going to have to be willing to. You can't come to Jesus without repentance. You can't come in pride and under the devil's rule and receive Jesus and the free ticket to heaven and live under the devil's rule. How do you know? Well, Brother Venable, now grace, listen, 1 John, I'm talking about the Bible. It said, he that committeth sin, it doesn't mean that anyone here is sinlessly perfect. If you think you are, we want you to be the first one in the altar today. Can you say amen? No one in here is sinless. No one. Amen? The Bible's clear about that. If we say we have no sin, the same 1 John epistle says what? We lie. Everybody say we lie. Well, lying's a sin, isn't it? Can you say amen? So if you say you have no sin, you sin just then. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive them. And not only to forgive us, he wants to go deeper than that and to cleanse. Everybody say cleanse.
Cleanse.
Hallelujah. Create in me. The first cry of David in repentance is create in me clean heart, oh God. And renew what? A right spirit. Nothing wrong. You'll find that everywhere you turn in the scripture, can you say, what a blessing it is to get right with God. Hallelujah. Praise God. And repentance is part of, essential to getting right with God. Amen. But the Bible is very, very clear, amen, in 1 John, that if we say we have no sin, we lie and do not the truth. But if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness and all iniquity. He goes deeper than just the surface stuff. He goes into the very heart, amen, of the matter. And I'm so glad today to be a preacher of righteousness in the 21st century. Can you say amen? I don't intend to manipulate. I want to do God's work God's way. I want to see his miracles. We saw his miracles of provision for over 25 years in full-time ministry. We put a coffee can in the back of the church to support a radio ministry that we had to pay for on WSOL back in those days. Foundations for Faith. Amen. Sometimes I would make it on a big reel-to-reel, but that thing messed up, so I just give up on that. And I just drove in to Tampa and sat down in the studio and made the broadcast. It was just a joy to have an outreach like that for 2 years, whatever it was. But I remember that we never got behind, but boy, we got right up to the deadline. I mean, right up to where we had to either pay the bill or go off the air. We never ran the bill up. Never was 1 week overpaying, but we got low. I remember one time we were pretty low because I looked in the coffee can and there wasn't anything there. I didn't solicit over the air, which I could have and maybe I should have, but there was a lot of people using the airways to manipulate people. I wanted to make it very, very clear that I was not one of them. That my motive in being on the air was to lead people to Jesus Christ and to minister to the body of Christ. Amen. And I wanted to stand out different because everybody's waiting for the, when I went into preaching in the prison system, everyone was waiting for the hook. What are you really here for? You know why they were waiting for that? Because a guy had come. And he had got all of these prisoners that were alienated from their families or didn't have families to write these letters of what they needed. Some of them didn't have just the bare necessities other than the jail provided, but they had nothing and no one to care for them. And then he would go to churches. This is when Malcolm Beard was the sheriff of Hillsborough County, and this is when a dear brother in our church was an assistant warden who gave me an opportunity to go in and preach, not at the regular time, but just, you know, any time I needed to and hold a Bible study. But what had alienated those prisoners and those guards and the sheriff of Hillsborough County is this guy with the quote-unquote jail ministry. And he went in and he got these letters and he would read them to churches. And people's hearts would break for these men that had been abandoned. And he would quote the scripture, I was in prison and you visited me not. And people would give to help these men with some of the things that is not provided, just basic to life. And the man took it all and lived in an opulent life and never helped the guys that he read the letters from. And when Malcolm Beard, it came to his attention what the man was doing, He called him up. This was the sheriff of Hillsborough County. He called him up, called him into his office. He told him, "You're banned from my jail for life. Not only that, but if I want you out of my county. I do not want to hear of you preaching ever again anywhere and receiving offerings in Hillsborough County. Because you are defrauding people, it is illegal. I should put you in jail and prosecute you right now." But he said, "If you will stay out of my county and never show your face in my county again, you will not be prosecuted for fraud." And the guy was glad to get out of Hillsborough County. So who did they bring in, this vacuum for a Bible teacher and a jail minister? Who did they bring in? Me. I had to come in behind that. That meant I came in completely suspect. The guards looked at me like I was a piece of dirt because they said, "Here's another one. Here's another guy that's going to use these prisoners or use something else to get something for himself." It was so good to go in there pure. It was so good to go in there and represent the kingdom of God. It was so good to go in there under the covering of a church. And I pastor a real church in Hillsborough County. It was so good that the assistant warden attended the church and could vouch for me. Can you say amen that I was authentic and genuine? Hallelujah. It was so good at the radio station when we never received an offering and a man came in and asked the director at the radio station of the religious programming, who was a lady who used to come, came to our church and sang a couple of times, who knew my dad, who sang in a quartet, she sang in a quartet, and she was the director of religious programming, and the guy said, "Who is this guy, Venable?" Because I had no affiliation with the Church of God, Assembly of God, Southern Baptist Convention. They assumed that something was terribly wrong, that I was hiding. I was one of these independents breaking all the rules and still preaching. Amen. And they said, "Who is this guy, Venable?" Another pastor that was on the air. "And whose wife did he run off with?" Isn't that incredible? The stigma that you have to overcome sometimes just to be given credibility. There ought not be a stigma. Pastors ought not be running off with other people's wives and still preaching. Number one, they ought not run off with somebody else's wife. Number two, they ought not be behind a pulpit if they do. Amen? Amen? If I value my ministry, I ought to think about it. If I value my life, I ought to think about it too. Can you say amen? God, I'd kind of like to live till I die. Hallelujah. God would whip me and Pamela would kill me, and then, if your eye be single, what a difference it makes. What a difference. But there's an assumption if you're independent, there must be something terribly wrong. If you pastor a small church and it isn't growing. My wife read a chapter of a book in some store written by George Foreman. He said, "I always wondered why our church was small and never did grow. You'd think a celebrity in there." Well, here you have one too. I don't understand it either. Can you say, but you'd think a celebrity like George Foreman would have a huge congregation, but it ain't necessarily so. God has places for great congregations with great ministers leading them. And God has a place for small ministries. And ours has been a small ministry ever since we began. When we ran 150 people and used the balcony and turned people away in the parking lot, we thought that was huge. And 150 people is considered a little community church these days. But the average church in America is running about 90 people or less. Amen. That's the average community church. And what's the problematic about an average community church is you cannot possibly offer all the programs. We got one young person here today. Two. I count you. Can we count you as a young person? Nah. This guy. Amen. We can't offer. The youth group is right here. Hallelujah. He's a one-man gang. 19, you're about to move out of the youth group. That's right. 18 or under. Amen. So But there is a place. God works. God moves. We had to overcome some stigmas just to preach the gospel. Can you say amen? And when I got in the jail, past all the, and the guards looked at me with a sneer. And when I got in, they didn't care. You know, I got back there in that holding cell. They broke the cells, and about 30 to 35 men come ambling in. And they're all looking at me because they knew what had happened with the other guy, and they're looking at me the same way. And I know they're looking at me that way. And I remember my first service, a man in the back put his hand up, and I pointed at him, and he says, Why are you here? Why are you here? In other words, what is your angle? See, you can't con a con. There's a lot of Christians that are pretty easily conned, but you can't con a con. Can you say amen? Sometimes the world, didn't the scripture say that sometimes the world is wiser, using more of natural wisdom than even God's people? I guess wisdom has always been a deficit problem with God's flock. See, there's a problem with sheep. You know what the big issue with sheep is? We, sheep, need desperately a shepherd to lead us. And we need a good shepherd. And we don't need a blind one leading the blind either. Amen? We need shepherds. We can't exist. Listen, there's wolves function best in a pack. Amen? Because the strength of the wolf is the pack, and the strength of the pack is the wolf. But occasionally there's a lone wolf that can still survive. But you will never hear of a lone sheep. You'll never hear of a flock of wild sheep. Wild goats, wild boar, wild bulls, wild people. But you'll never hear, amen, of wild sheep roaming the countryside. Amen. You know why? Because a sheep won't last a day where there's predators. And if there's no predators, he will go get a drink of water without being shorn of his wool. That's why they had to lead them beside still water. You know why they led them beside still water? Because if they got where running water was, they would bow down to get the drink. Their wool would start saturating with water. Amen. They would tip forward into the water and drown. And the shepherd would go to where either there was a little pool of water, or he would actually, out of that stream, carve out a little area to let some of that water run off to where the sheep would. He leadeth me beside still water. I don't have to worry or fear about being destroyed. Amen. I can have that assurance of safety. He leads me beside still waters, not rushing water. He's protective of me. He cares about me. Why? Because there is a way that seems right unto a man that leads to destruction. Amen. Can you say amen? I need the shepherd to keep me back. The shepherd had a crooked staff. Amen. He had a rod and a staff. And oh, what a comfort, David said. It is to be shepherded by God who has a rod and a staff to comfort me. Because in that hook-shaped shepherd's staff, if I get down into something I can't get out of, he can grab me by the neck and pull me out. If I'm about to fall off a cliff, he can reach out and grab me and pull me back. I thank God for the things in my life that has been that crooked shepherd's staff pulling me back. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. His rod and his staff. Oh, his rod is not his chastening rod either. I want to clarify that. His rod, amen, was a short stick. It looked about this long. And if a predator came near, he would take it and throw it and hit the predator with it. And generally, he was good with it. Amen. This was his weapon, amen, against any predator, was to throw it and hit it on the head as hard as he could with that rod. And if the predator was right up on him, he would hit him like a clubbing with it to get him away from the sheep. Thy rod and thy staff. Listen, it's not God's, amen, wanting to wear you out that is your comfort. It's God laying it on your enemy. Amen. Thy rod and thy staff. This is not the rod that it says, spare not that you spoil the child. This is not God's chastisement. This is God's protective love. Amen. Hallelujah. So thy rod and thy staff, they what? They pull me back, but they comfort me. God is watching over me. I'm not trying to make it on my own. See, the problem with sheep is we need a shepherd. We cannot exist without a shepherd. And I'm not just talking about pastors. All a pastor is a bell sheep Amen? The one that follows the shepherd close enough, they tie a bell around his neck so when the shepherd moved, he wouldn't have to call all the sheep, just the bell sheep. But when the bell started ringing, the other sheep followed. Paul said, I'm a bell sheep, so follow me as I follow Christ. What qualifies me to shepherd you is following Jesus in my own personal life. My example is more powerfully important than my preaching. The Word of God is the Word of God. It's potent. It's powerful. But the Bible said not being a lord over God's heritage, but being an example to the flock. And what we're looking for now is anointings and eloquence and personability and gifts. We're not looking for Christ likeness. We don't. As long as we get what we want from God through the gift, it doesn't concern us much about whether the person's been, you know, whether the person is biblically qualified to even preach. I said biblically. Do you know those things that disqualify me from standing in that pulpit? And I have to consider how precious my Lord is and my ministry is, whether or not I'm willing to send it away. Yes. Amen? But today, in one of Leonard Ravenhill's books on revival, why revival tarries, there was a caption of a man of the cloth standing behind a pulpit, and it said, as goes the pulpit, so goes the pew. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? If we've got compromise in the pulpit, who, when somebody's operating under an anointing, see, the anointing doesn't leave immediately. That's what is so absolutely deceptive about it. Samson was anointed. Let me get into this before we close. I'm meandering, but I want really, amen, to be what God called me to be. I want to be authentic. The word that God used is sincere. In the Bible, when he inspired Paul to talk to us about being authentic as Christians and as ministers and as people of God. Being real, being genuine doesn't mean being perfect. But it doesn't mean living in compromise without repentance either. Can you say amen? It means being genuine and being real. The reason I'm able to witness at work is because they've had years, literally, to look at my life. And they haven't seen perfection, but they have seen sincerity. So the Bible said that you might be sincere, which means sun-tested in the Greek. Sun-tested. Be careful of people running around wanting to paint your house at a ridiculously low price. Or put you on a roof at a ridiculously low price that are not licensed and bonded and have some references. Because, and particularly senior citizens, they take advantage of. In that day, there was that kind of people. They would build something for you out of stone, and they would use stones with cracks in them that they got from the quarry that they discarded because they couldn't be used. They had cracks in them. And they would take the crack and fill it with candle wax. And then they would whitewash it. And now you can't see the candle wax and the crack, and they would always do that and use those stones in the building process in cool weather. Because in the summertime, after they got their money and they're long gone, the sun would come out. And guess what happened to the wax in that crack that you couldn't see because it had been whitewashed? It would melt out, and the crack would become apparent, and you knew this is a weak place in whatever they built for you, and now you've got a real issue and a real problem. Amen. There are so many people that have the wax of pretense and the wax of hypocrisy poured in to places that God wants to genuinely address and take care of. Can you say amen? And then we whitewash it with some kind of religious front. And there's so many people that things look so good to me sometimes. And you know, to the pure, all things are pure. I'm not going around trying to be inspecting everybody for those cracks. But I'll tell you what, when the pressure gets on, amen, the sun will test those things. The word sincere in the Greek meant sun tested. It means when the pressure is on, you weather that storm. Amen. You keep the faith. Amen. If you do something wrong, you get it right, and you go on and serve the true and living God out of a sincere heart. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's victory in Jesus' name. But that's also authenticity. So Paul said, above all things, I want you to be authentic. He went into an area where his integrity and his motive was questioned. And he said to them, you know our conversation, which didn't mean the word conversation as I'm speaking right now. It meant my behavior in the Greek. You know our behavior. Have you ever heard the scripture, evil communications, corrupt good manners? Actually, in the Greek, it says, evil companionships corrupt good morals. You can't hang out with compromised people or sinful people all the time and expect to stay pure. Amen? So the Bible tells you, come out from among who? Them. And be ye what? Separate, saith the Lord. And I will receive you. Don't touch the unclean thing. For what fellowship hath light with darkness, or Christ with Belial? Or the believer and the unbeliever, don't be unequally yoked together. Why? Because evil communications corrupt good manners. Evil companionships. Hallelujah. Listen to me very carefully today. God wants authenticity out of His church. I received these things. One church had a Dollar Tree in Tampa. And it was this big thing they had, big plastic tree they had. And everybody pinned a dollar to it with a clothespin on Sunday. Everybody put a dollar on the Dollar Tree. And once a month, they drew a name of all the people that attended every Sunday. And if you've got the name drawn, you got every dollar on the Dollar Tree. Oh, man, what a motivation to go to church. Can you say amen? If I miss a day this month, I won't have the opportunity to win the dollars on the Dollar Tree. I'm sure the Lord was pleased when they started singing His praises, knowing the reason they came was to try to win the pool. Can you say amen? By hook or crook, one guy wrote me a letter, pastored in this town for years, backslid, came back, preached some more, died not too many years ago. But this was his ploy. Amen. The devil, he said in his letter, was the prince of the power of the air. That is absolutely correct. Amen. He said, then in this realm between God's heaven and the earth, Satan has a realm where he rules supreme. He's the God, the prince of the power of the air. And what his deal was, you send him a certain amount offering and your prayer request. He's going to use the money, of course, for other things too. You know, after you buy the other things, but you rent a Cessna plane and a pilot for a day. And they're going to pile the prayer request into the back of that plane. And they're going to take it up and they're going to get above Satan's realm where he's holding up your prayer. Now, people, listen, folks, people sent him the money in the prayer request. Come on, sheep really have issues. Can you say, man, if they don't have a good shepherd, they have some real issues. I hate to say this, but since I've identified myself as one of the sheep, a bell sheep. Sheep are dumb. Some of these things are dumb. You have to be dumb. Can you say amen? And blind to do something. And somebody can come on with a sha-na-na and immediately we give them biblical, scriptural, spiritual credibility. And the Bible said you're to test angels amen. By the word of God.
That's right.
And people are saying, but don't you judge me. Well, we're not judging them as far as where they spend eternity or whether God whoops them or not. We're judging their doctrine. And we're judging it by God's book. And we're told to do it by God Himself. If an angel speak another gospel, if you have a letter from us, he not only said if an angel bring you another one, he said if you hear from one of the apostles and we change our mind, including me, you reject me just like you rejected the angel. A man on the earth is not more credible than an angel because he speaks in tongue. No marvel if Satan himself be transformed as an angel of light. What do you do with an angel of light that appears? Do you bow? Well, number one, you don't bow. Every time anybody bowed to angels, they picked them up and said, we're not to be worshipped. We came here to serve you on God's behalf. They're holy beings, but they're not to be worshipped. Can you say amen? Well, what do you do when an angel tells you something? You weigh it with the Word. And if it doesn't line up with the Word, you say anathema. Be gone. John Smith started the whole aberrant religion, Mormonism, and got the whole Book of Mormon, which contradicts so much and because of the way it interprets the New Testament. They say they believe it, but they believe it in an interpretation that's absolutely wrong from classic Christianity and true Christianity. And yet, Mormonism is thriving because a man was visited by an angel of, listen, an angel of light, who gave him the new revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen? So you don't even take everything in it. And some people get so absolutely wanting the Spirit of God to bless them, and they're sincere in what they're looking for, but they open themselves up to the spirit world. Anything out there and everything out there to get a sensation. Honey, I want to be yielded to one Spirit, and that's the Holy Spirit. And I don't come to church just to feel. I come to church to find and discover truth. Amen. He is above everything else, the Spirit of truth. And when He comes, His primary ministry to us in this world of deception, amen, is to guide us into all truth. And Jesus said, if you continue in My Word, you will know the truth. Amen. Did someone ask me at a meeting when they said something true about the management, and then they looked at me because they used a expletive, and he said, well, Rev, didn't it say the truth that sets you free? I said, no. It said, if you continue in My Word, you will know the truth. And the truth then will set you free. Can you say amen? It starts with the Word of God. Hallelujah. Amen? The Word of God. All the Word of God. It's amazing how people can manipulate. The Bible spoke about the cunning craftiness of men that lie in wait to deceive. There's a television minister that in Miami is so well known that when he walks into a bar in Miami, they go ahead and pour his drink because they know what he drinks. Incredible blindness. We're not checking our lives. We're looking at talking heads on television. We're looking at so-called gifts. Samson was anointed to become a Nazarite. He had a vow not to cut his hair as a symbol of his commitment. Amen. To be a champion in behalf of Israel. To stand as a defender of Israel with God's anointing. Wasn't he anointed? Wasn't Samson anointed? I've often told congregations, I still will till the day that I quit preaching. The Samson you see in the Bible, I do not believe even remotely resembles the Samson that God raised up. Because of God's M.O. He chooses the weak things to confound the mighty. Can you say amen? I honestly believe that Samson looked like Woody Allen. I think Samson was just a little slightly built Jew. Well, how did he do what he did? Didn't have anything to do with his muscles, that's for sure. It said the Spirit of God came on him. Amen? The Spirit of the Lord came on him. Can a man still have the Spirit of God? Is God quick to remove that? No, He's not. He's not quick to remove that. Samson, before he met Delilah, did a feat of strength that was supernatural, enabled by the Spirit of God, after spending the night with a harlot. Thank you for the hearty amen. Amen. So if you think God's still using somebody and they're still anointed and people come to Christ under their ministry, mean that they're authentic. Maybe so, maybe not. Time tells that. There's been some revelations that have shocked me and rocked me in the last 10 years. People I would have never dreamed were compromised. Or living in secret sin. Or bound by the devil. We need this authenticity. Amen. We need this transparency. We need the accountability one for another. You know why some people don't want to come to a small church? We know each other. We sit close to the church. I know the cologne that some people wear. Old spouse. Oil of Ole. That's for men. Oil of Ole for women. We're close. We know each other. We know each other's shortcomings and failures. You don't just see me in the pulpit. You see me after church. My wife, we're interconnected here. Some people like to go where nobody knows them because there's no accountability. We can keep up our pretense and no one will know the difference. The preacher looks out to it. I'll tell you the honest truth. I see everyone's expression every Sunday. You're too close for me not to notice. I see your expressions. You should see what I see sometimes. Amen. Sometimes it's pretty, sometimes it's not so pretty. But when I preached in Haiti to 10,000 people, 10,000 people up on this big platform, separated by people for crowd control, faces were not individualized anymore. There was a sea of faces. Amen? No, I couldn't see who was wincing when I said something or who was reticent against what I was saying. I just preached to the sea of faces. But when you get in an intimate setting, it's different. Every expression, everything, body language, everything kind of communicates back. And a prophet was warned about that. Jeremiah said, don't look at their faces while you're telling my truth. In other words, don't soften it because they scowl at you. Because if you start that, that's called seeker friendly.
Amen.
Tell them what they want to hear instead of what I'm saying. Find out what they really want and give it to them. Ingratiate yourself to them and somehow you can do my work. No, you can't worry about whether you're ingratiated or not, whether they applaud you or not. Can you say amen? You've got to tell the truth. You've got to be authentic if you're going to speak for God. Amen? Amen? Listen to me. He said, do not look at their faces. Why? Amen. If I'm looking to your face to determine whether I finish this sermon with what God has given me, amen, and I start drawing back, I cannot deliver to you what the Lord has given me to deliver. Can you say amen? And God is going to hold me accountable for whether I told you the truth on Sunday morning. One thing I want you to know, I care about your soul. I really want to see you in heaven, not just see you in church on Sunday. Can you say amen? I want to see you there. I'm going to be looking for you. And if you're not there, you can't say, that preacher should have warned me. Know that I love you. My spirit did not come to expose your sin. I came to call you to repentance. I know all about your sin, saith the Spirit of God. But I have sent my Son that your sins may be forgiven and that you may be sealed by the Holy Spirit unto the very day of redemption, saith the Spirit of God. Somebody give Him praise. Hallelujah. 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 God wants us to be authentic.
Yes.
In the pulpit, in the pew, in our
amen.
Daily Christian life.
Amen.
God wants, this world needs yes. to see Christianity represented with authenticity
amen.
Again. Paul said, you know our conversation among you, how we coveted no man's gold or apparel. You'll never be able to question our motive. We work with our hands that is good to provide for our own personal needs. He's not saying you shouldn't support ministry. He's saying where the ministry is suspect, ministry should be very cautioned how we take care of finances. Because if we're not, people are going to question our motive. And one of the barriers at work down through the years of witnessing is people questioning the motive of all ministry. Because of the hard sell and the manipulative stuff, you just can't con the world. Because the world is into a con themselves and they're not easily conned. It's the church that supports these things. And it's not all the church. It's the portion of the church that puts gifts above charisma, above character. If we can receive a supposed word from the Lord or fall out or have some experience, we really don't question the doctrine or necessarily the life. And we should question both. I told the Lord a long time ago, if you're going to send somebody to me, you've got to send somebody credible. And not just that say they're credible or other people say they're credible. I've got to have the witness that they're credible. Man came to my office and he was credible. And he came to my office with a word from the Lord. And I've had so many people come. One lady came with a supposed word from the Lord for me that I was supposed to go and do mission work somewhere in Africa or wherever. And God hadn't called me to that and hadn't told me about it. And he really, these things should come as confirmations, not surprises. But she went, you know, really, don't surprise me with something God hadn't even confirmed to my heart or is dealing with my heart about. So it wasn't a confirmation. It wasn't even a surprise. It just wasn't God, period. And I knew it wasn't, and I said, well, I'll pray about it. I tried to be, you know, gentle and use some, you know, a little bit of diplomacy. I said, I'll pray about that, but thank you. In other words, I just kind of brushed it off, but I did it not to hurt or harm, but just to let people know I do know the Lord, and I do want to be led to the Spirit, but I have to have something in my heart. I can't go by what anybody says or call himself prophet or not. And so this person who I did not listen to because I did not listen to them, so people went to eat in one of the nearby restaurants, and that person was in there talking to another person, and now this person was putting a curse on me for not listening to them. Now, wait a minute. This person, I thought, people get really weird out there. And by the way, the curse didn't work. Amen? It didn't work. I mean, you could take a little doll of me and stick pins in it all day long. It don't work. Not on me. Amen. Because you have to have fear to make that stuff work. And I'm not afraid of that stuff. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, they can do anything they want to. It doesn't matter. Amen. If you dig one ditch, one proverb said you better dig another one. Can you say, amen, the ditch you're digging for me is, listen, remember Haman, the Jew? Can you say, amen, listen to me carefully. Amen, it won't work. I love what that evangelist said that went down into Africa and was preaching. And there was a guy that was a lady actually that held great, great, great power over the people because of dealing with familiar spirits and literally witchcraft. And they came to her for all these different things. And so she came out to face him. He was holding a meeting there, and he went out to face her. And he says, Mama, you're not boss here anymore. Me boss here. Because my master defeated your master at the cross 2,000 years ago. Can you say amen? He established up front, if we're going to have a power encounter, my God is the living and true God. Hallelujah. I kind of like that. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Satan uses fear, amen, to cripple us, but God uses faith to equip us. Hallelujah. And if we get real with God, we're going to have genuine miracles. I looked a man in the eye last night and I said, I wish somebody from the media would have come down when I still had the papers, when my dad could show them the papers, when we could take them to Dr. Paul Minthorn in Tampa and we could show them the papers that they could actually see a miracle. Amen. And see it in me and know that God is real. And when he does something real, it's authentic and can be authenticated. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Oh, somebody give him praise in this room. I'm so tired of the phony and the baloney. But let me tell you, tongues are not of the devil, and supernatural manifestations are of God. But they need to be authentic. They need to be authentic. They need to be authentic. Amen. Go and ask Jesus, are you he? Or should we look for another? I just confirm that this is the Son of God, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, the true Messiah. If I missed it, I have made a monumental mistake. Go ask him. I want verification, John said, that what I said, even though I saw and heard the voice of God confirming, even though there's mighty, go ask him. And Jesus said, go tell John that the lame, authentic, can you say me? The lame walk. Go tell John what else? The blind see. Go tell John something else. The deaf hear, and he will know it is me. Can you say amen? There is a genuine. There is an authentic. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go tell him to take another course in Christology and theology. No! Tell him the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear. Amen, that there's somebody has control over the oceans and the winds. And it's authentic. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They would have killed the early apostles, but they could not deny that a notable miracle, an authentic, confirmed miracle had been wrought in the man that was lame. Can you say amen? They couldn't deny it. We need some things that the world, as much as they would like to, can't deny. There's a man at at work, and he's witnessing, and he's witnessing, and he's witnessing, and he's so full of the joy of Jesus. His life was falling apart, been through a serious divorce situation and a custody battle, and he was just life in disarray. And I remember one night coming out of the locker room, and he was just coming into work, and he stopped, and we come into conversation, and he said something about a sister with cancer or something, and it opened up the door, and I began to share. God has used my healing, of the authentic healing of cancer in me, to open the door to witness to Jesus. Not just to healing and miracles, but to Jesus. Can you say amen? And so we talked for about 35 minutes. He kept apologizing for holding me up, and I'm going to tell you, nobody need apologize to me for holding me up to talk about the Lord. Amen. That's that. I don't need to get paid to do that.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So I shared the healing testimony with him. He said, do you think that it was real? Or if maybe they misdiagnosed the cancer to begin with. I said, sir, I said, I can't tell you all the details. All I can tell you is this, amen, that I was sick and I laid on a couch all the day long. And my mom and my daddy were disturbed. And the doctor said, I heard them talking with the doctor about putting me in the county hospital because we had no insurance when it got bad enough and it was running its course. Amen. And I went up for prayer and I felt the presence. And see, he was kind of alien to that, really alien to that. Going to church is one thing, but coming into the presence of God was something totally alien to him. And I said, I felt the presence of God. First time in my little life, I felt God. The closer I got to being prayed for, I felt this tingling in my feet coming up. Well, couldn't have that just been emotional stress and emotional because you were? I said, listen, here's the deal. The next day, I got up, I ran outside, I began to play with my dog Poncho. We played all day long. I went back to the doctor. They took another blood test and they said the cancer is gone. Amen. And every subsequent blood test, the cancer was gone. Amen. I just shared this testimony last night again with somebody else in the break room. Amen. Since 8 years old to 62 years old, I have walked in God's blessing of health and victory. Amen. Listen to me. Listen to me. There is an authentic. There is a reality in the Lord. There, God is mighty. And I don't want your faith hurt because of the things that are insincere. There's a genuine. There is a reality. And every time I walk into work, I bear witness that there is a God in heaven. There is a Messiah that came to save us. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. There is authentic, genuine answers to prayer. There are anointings that work. Every sign, every wonder, every supernatural intervention, every work of God is to confirm truth, saith the Spirit, and to exalt Jesus and the great God who sent him. Somebody give him praise. Hallelujah. 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 They went everywhere and preached the gospel. The Lord working with them, confirming them, the gifts, confirming the word. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the last days some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Yea, some shall depart, but not all, saith God. For my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. Yea, for I have given you an anointing, an unction from the Holy One, that you may know all things. For in you, indwelling you, is the Spirit of truth. And He will keep you from error, keep you from deception. He has sealed you for the day of redemption, saith the Spirit of God. More important than the experience the Holy Spirit gives you is the truth that He reveals to you. It's the most important ministry of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer living in the end times of great deception. For how shall you try angels? And how shall you try gifted ministers? And why would a Paul approach a Peter and withstand him to the face over biblical error when the man he's approaching was preaching the gospel when Paul was persecuting the church? He's clearly the senior minister. Why would Paul approach him? Because the anointing through the charismata, the gifts of the Spirit in this man, were so strong and mighty that they brought out the sick when they heard he was coming down a street. And they laid them beside the street. They didn't call him like blind Bartimaeus. They laid them beside the way that he would pass, that his shadow passing over them, if they were close enough for his shadow to pass over them, people would get up off their mat and walk. How do you approach this man about biblical truth? How does Paul have the audacity to approach Peter and say, "You're in error"? Because truth is truth. It doesn't matter. The gifts don't necessarily mean... William Branham started out great in gifts, but he ended up sad in doctrine. Hello? There's a lot of people started out because the pedestalizing preachers that are anointed at the expense of truth and character sometimes can lead so many people into error. Paul said, "I'm going to commend the Christians at Berea. They're more honorable than anywhere I've been because they went home and searched the Scripture to see if what I said was true." And authentic ministry is subject to the Scripture. We're not afraid of biblical judging. Amen? Wouldn't it be great if some of the people in such error today, that brothers could go to them and they would come out of their pride and their pedestal and get off of their pedestal, amen, and humble themselves and say, "You know, you're right." I remember Jimmy Swaggart saying one time, "I almost got over into a false gospel," and I know he failed, and I know he admitted it, and he failed again, and he admitted it, and he came back, but at least he admitted it and came back. But he said, "I was over into this doctrine that came along," and I suddenly, one day I was making my radio broadcast, and I was looking at my Bible and I was looking at what was currently so popular, and I said, "I cannot preach this. I cannot continue to preach this. I can have a lot more people follow and give if I preach this, but I can't do it because it just doesn't line up with the Word of God consistently. It's Scripture taken out of context." But the genuine, the real. I remember that man looking at me when I told him about the power of God in the person of Jesus and what He had done in my life. Amen. And he tried to blow it all away, but none of it would blow away, and it stuck. Amen. About 2 months later, amen, he came in with a glow on his face. He came in, I mean, just changed in his demeanor and everything else. And he said, "You know, I decided it was time, Rev, for me to seek the Lord." He said, "I can't cope with all of this myself. And I decided it's time for me, amen, to find God and give Him a place in my life." And he said, "I went to this church and that church and this church and that church." And he said, "Finally, I went to a church," and he said, All I know is, he said, something happened to me when I got in that church. He said, people embraced me. They loved me. Amen. They told me about what Jesus did. I heard about what Jesus did at the cross. And he said, I walked down and I gave my whole life over to him. He said, he is witnessing now. He will challenge people. He'll confront them. He'll ask them, how you doing? He asked a guy the other day, and he said, he's a boss man. He said, the guy told him something about, I can't even tell it all because this tape might get out there. But anyway, amen. He said, well, how's that working for you? Amen. He wanted to know, is all this that the world has offered, is that working for you? Are you really happy, fulfilled? Have you found, amen, what you really need in life? Amen. And what he was wanting to do is for the guy to admit, no, it isn't working for me, so he could tell him what will work for you. Can you say amen? Because it's working for him. Because it's real. It's genuine. What happened to him was not just getting religion. He got a relationship with Jesus Christ that changed his life. Ask me how it's working for me. Honey, it's been working for me for all of these years. Amen. It's working for me this morning. Praise God. Hallelujah. Without Jesus, I'd be on something. Amen. I'd be depressed, oppressed, defeated, deceived. But because of Jesus, I am kept. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. I'm a dumb sheep. Amen. You turn me loose on my own, I'm going to fall off a cliff. I'm going to go get a drink. Something as innocent as getting a drink, and I'm going to drown in the water while getting a drink. Can you say amen? Amen. I'm going to go out where I see green pasture, and a wolf is going to come and haul me off and eat me and spit out the bones. Can you say amen? But honey, I am kept by the power of God until the day of redemption. Hallelujah. And that power of God is personified in a person whose name is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And he's able to keep me from falling and to present me faultless on that day. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. Glory to his wonderful name. Wow. Let me give you one scripture at least so we can have an authentic Bible study. John's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 30 and 31. If you continue in my word, you will know my truth, and my truth will make you free. Yeah. Amen. If you continue in my word. That means you need to get in your Bible. Amen. With the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
So that you can try spirits.
Amen.
Test angels' doctrines, see where preachers are coming from. Did you know that television gives you credibility just by being on the tube? Talking heads have more credibility than you and me. These people on TV. Not everybody on TV is not authentic, but there's some people on there that are not authentic. One man dumped all the prayer requests into a dumpster and somebody found them, a journalist found them. Looking for dirt, they found the dirt. They ought to look for dirt and not find the dirt. If they don't manufacture the dirt, there ought not be any. Can you say amen? So all these prayer requests, they took the money out and threw them in the dumpster. Before they ever got to this place they're supposed to be prayed over, they ended up in a dumpster beside a bank. And us sheep, yeah, we just dumb up. One guy used an earphone. When you went into his miracle meeting, he would ask you to fill out a prayer request card with your deepest need on it. I have cancer. I have 6 months to live. You write it down. Your name is John Doe. When he got inside, he had behind his sprayed down evangelist hair was a little hearing device, little radio. His wife was backstage, and she's got all these prayer requests. And he goes like this. He's getting a word from the Lord. He said, yes, John Doe. Is there a John Doe here? Poor old John Doe is here. And he's a believer. And he believes that there's a God of miracles. And John Doe gets up and he walks down front and he says, you've been diagnosed with cancer and you've been given 6 weeks to live, John Doe. Now he gets a Holy Ghost shudder run through him because this man is reading him like a book. God is showing him everything. No, his wife is backstage transmitting through. Listen, there's real words of knowledge.
Yes, there is.
Bona fide. See, I want to separate from the authentic from the baloney. You don't have to be afraid of the real. Oh my, God moves. God is mighty. Listen, listen, but there's junk out there. There's always going to be the counterfeit. Here's what's so crazy about this. There was a magician, and he was exposing all the sleight of hand stuff, and he went in the back of the church, and he brought a transmitter. He suspected there might be one. You know what he should have got? He should have got just chatter. He didn't. He got the land's wife. Giving him he picked up, a scanner. Picking up radio waves. She was coming over his scanner. He recorded it. He brought it on Johnny Carson. And showed it on national TV. And you know where that guy is today? He's on television. Yes. Calling people out. And you know what he said when he was exposed? Well, it helped a lot of people that were hurting. So in other words, the means justifies the ends. And he's on television today. And do you know what it costs to be on television? A lot of people have to be sending in a lot of money. And I guarantee you, he don't drive an old pickup truck. And who's supporting that? Knowing it. The world isn't supporting it. Who's sending it in? Who's buying the fluorescent, iridescent cross that's driving demons out of your room instead of the one that Jesus died on? There may be somebody here. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If I didn't know there was a real, I would have questioned the whole deal. Got out of ministry. Amen. But I know there's a real. And I know there's a genuine. And I have seen it. And I have experienced it firsthand. Glory be to God. And I know one thing. I know that in this day of great deception, there is a move of the Holy Spirit, amen, to bring us back to truth. And when we come back to truth, amen, and we stand in truth, we're going to see the supernatural to confirm truth, but it's going to be authentic. And what God does through ministries, won't the spotlight will not be on the minister. I'll tell you that right now. It's going to be on Jesus. It's going to be on the Father who sent him. It's going to be on the truth that he brought. Us. Can you say amen? He's going to confirm his word. Say his word. His word. His word. His word. His word. Say it with me. His word. In context, as it is written, unadulterated, inerrant. Hallelujah. We don't have to tone it down for a 21st century proud, self-serving, amen, generation in order to get them in. Let's leave them out there until they're done with sin, and let's call them to a life-changing God that's willing to forgive their sin and turn their whole life around. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. I don't want people coming in here that are not ready to get right with God. Until God has prepared their heart, I don't want phony conversions. I don't want sinners being made to feel better on Sunday morning while in their sin. I want them convicted of their sin. Absolutely. And they don't have to be here for that to happen. They can be watching television, sitting at a bar beside a stripper, and the Spirit of God can find them and shake them, hallelujah, until they want to be in church next Sunday. Amen. Revival, I just heard eyewitness reports of recently on a disc. It was so powerful to me because it said God was everywhere. Hallelujah. Amen. God was everywhere. He wasn't just at church. They came to church because God found them where they were. God came upon them in the bars. And they shut the bars down. Wasn't nobody to drink that couldn't keep the door open because the drunkards got saved. Hallelujah. Because God came on drunkards in bars. And they couldn't even find a preacher, but there was a constable in a police station that was a godly man. And they swarmed the police station to hear about Jesus from him. Wow. And one lady's son, inebriated but under deep conviction. I've watched God sober up inebriated people when conviction would come on them. Was kneeling beside of the road, just beside of the road, crying out to God for salvation. And his mama holding him, amen, and praying with him, and said, "Ah, Willie, have you finally come to God?" And you say, amen. And Willie became the minister in that parish. Wow, somebody say real revival. Glory to God. Now, if revival is somebody that comes and sings and plays an instrument and operates in gifts and holds a five-day meeting, if that's revival, God isn't everywhere. Can you say amen? God isn't on your crazy kids, if you've got some crazy ones. Most of us have some crazy ones. But God knows where they are. He knows how to find them. I believe the church is being sun tested right now to see if we're sincere. Jesus said, "Will I return to the earth? Shall I find faith? Will it be intact? Will it be legitimate? Will it be authentic? Will it be the faith that was once delivered to the saints?" That's what I'm going to be looking for. And those that are following the faith are going to be the faithful. Amen. And they that were with him in the book of Revelation, that make it through all of this and stand with him in great victory, they were called. They were chosen. Everybody say fidelity. Everybody say simplify. The Marines don't have a corner on that. It means always faithful. Amen. Semper fidelis. Amen. In Latin, it means always faithful. Can you say amen? You want a good soldier of the cross? Find someone who's always faithful. Can you say amen? Halabakosha letada maritianda likoshola mananda halaba. I don't want any spiritual experience that isn't authentic. I don't want to just feel. I want to be set free. I want to live in victory. Amen. I want grace sufficient. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want a sound mind. Everybody say a sound mind. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Halabashida baba. Itadabashandarabakita nanamolote. Rishalabakisanadabada. I want to see God exalted again. Amen. I want to see notable miracles that the press and the medical, amen, community has to acknowledge something real has happened in this man's life. Something real has happened in this woman's life. And it cannot be attributed to anything of man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Will you stand to your feet this morning? Let's give him praise. Would you cue up Take My Life once again? I want to be yielded. I want to be in the presence of God. Hallelujah. 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 Father, we just give you praise today. We just give you praise today. We just give you praise today. We just give you